Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by Enigma Fishing, Cast, Catch, Repeat. Visit Anderson, South Carolina, home of beautiful Lake Hartwell. Phoenix Boats, experience the difference. And by the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Now here's lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the BassPro.com Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series presented by Bass Pro Shops and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. The Bass Nation operates youth, high school, and college programs, including a Junior Bassmaster Championship, a High School National Championship, the College National Championship, and the College Bracket, leading to the Bassmaster Classic. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are. And for more information on how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation Club, visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. The best way to communicate with the show, to post your pictures or tell us your stories or just comment on the show, is to visit our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/BASS or on Twitter at Bassmaster and use the hashtag Bass Radio. You can also listen to all the shows at Bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the watch button at Bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. Well, that was kind of odd. Patrick Walters went out to Lake Fork and flat landed on the motherlode, winning the Toyota Bassmaster Texas Fest by nearly 30 pounds. To put that in perspective, he basically doubled the previous margin of victory record. Here's another way to look at it. He could have went water skiing on Sunday and still won the deal on his three-day total. And it wasn't so much a spot, but a technique that he zeroed in on, alternating a Rapala X-Wrap and a Megabass 110 jerkbait in standing timber for the win. He's coming up in our Winner's Circle segment in just a few minutes. Texas Fest also gave us our AOI chap, Clark Wendlett, who had a pretty good lead going into Chickamauga, but had an awful event there, falling to third in the doing what he needed to do to bring home his first Elite Series AOI after three in FLW. Clark Wendlett is coming up later on in the show. Between those two guys is Texan Chris Zeldane from Fort Worth, where the 2021 Academy Sports and Outdoors Bassmaster Classic will be on Lake Ray Roberts. But he's going to give us a preview of next week's BassPro.com Bassmaster Open on nearby Louisville Lake.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats, Bassmaster Radio. And, you know, it's a championship edition of Bassmaster Radio when we get an opportunity to have both the champion from the Toyota Bassmaster Texas Fest on, along with our AOI champion. And later on, we'll have Clark Wendlett, who did win the AOI. But how about Patrick Walters getting it? That was just 6 weeks ago he was on the show and in the Rapala Winner's Circle when he won the BassPro.com Bassmaster Eastern Open at Lake Hartwell. And he has just kept it going. He turned it around, went to Santee Cooper, had an 11th there. He was 10th at Cherokee Lake in the Eastern Open there. And then just obliterated the field at Texas Fest at Lake Fork. And he joins us now. Welcome back to the show, Patrick Walters. How are you?
Man, Tom, I am doing fantastic. Everything's going great. It was truly an unbelievable week, but in all honesty, if I'm talking to you, things are going good.
Well, I got to say, man, making the winner's circle twice in a year. We had Hartman, we had Cobb last year, we had it, but now we're doing it again with you. This is a heck of a feat, but I think doing it with a open win and an elite win is actually even a little bit harder. No disrespect to the elites, obviously, the top of the line anywhere in the world. But, you know, in the Opens, you're going against 200 guys. And so to be able to do it both in the Open and in an Elite 6 weeks apart, that's pretty cool.
It really is. It's definitely something different. Just the mindset and the preparation that has to go into tournaments, you actually have to plan differently for each series. Where when you're fishing the Opens, you're fishing against 200 guys who have been fishing the lake for a week, sometimes 2 weeks. And so the amount of pressure that body of water gets, you kind of have to put that into your game plan, where when the elites get there, those are fresh fish. There's only 88 of us, 87. And we only have 3 days of practice. So it's definitely, you don't have to worry about too many people, but they are the best in the world, and they always do find the fish.
Yeah, and it's very, very important to some people that you fish this Lay Lake deal. I hope you're going to come and come back and slum with us at the Opens. I mean, it's a big event, obviously a lot of money to be made there as well. But I know some guys. I don't want to say names, but Keith Combs, Wes Hogan, Jay Ellis. These guys that are right right on that cut line right now. They're hoping for a double qualification. Of course, Wes Hogan will be fishing it as well. But there are some guys that are going to be sending you a nice little Christmas present if you can get that win, get double qualified, and push that number down past Shane LeHue to maybe Keith Combs at 43.
Yeah, I think there's definitely some people who are going to be watching that one who are, right, like you said, right there at the bubble, who are really interested in what's going to happen. But there's a lot of people who are fishing the elites who haven't really fished all of the tournaments who are going to be fishing these next two opens to try to open that extra spot.
Yeah, well, no, that is a great point. All right, let's get to your win at Lake Fork, because you were like on a different lake. You fished Lake Fork in May, and everybody else fished Lake Fork in November. Right, basically, that's what it felt like, because that was a May number, 104 pounds, not a November number. How did you find what you found? We all watched it, but a lot of the listeners that are listening right now don't know. How did you find what you found? And it seemed like you pretty much had it to yourself.
I give the guys in the elites a ton of credit, because in my opinion, they are the best in the world. And that was one thing. I kind of felt like I was lost all week because nobody was fishing around me. I felt like I was doing the wrong thing. And that just goes to show you, you always got to fish against the fish and not against your opponents and the guys in the field. Tell you the truth, it was kind of what I did at Cherokee. At Cherokee, I was fishing treetops and some brush piles a little bit, and I had the same baits tied on and kind of rolled them into Lake Fork, because I fished Cherokee the week prior, and I made the top 10 cut and left there on Saturday, and I had to drive straight to Fork. And when I got to Fork, all I did was tie some giant swim baits on. And my plan going into Lake Fork was to fish the standing timber and try to find rogue, suspended, isolated big fish. Just one fish, because I went into that tournament with the intent to catch a truck, meaning the biggest fish in the tournament.
Right.
And when I started fishing the timber, I didn't find single big fish. There was an absolute ton of fish out there for some reason. I had no idea that kind of potential was out there in practice. But I was blown away on what was truly living out there as the tournament progressed.
Now, you see a certain amount of that timber coming out of the lake. So we saw what was exposed in it. How deep a water was it, and where were they suspended on that, on that column of tree, if you will?
It really varied. There wasn't really one area that was, I had one good area above Lake Fork Marina that was pretty good, but over the entire lake, the fish were suspended. I actually caught them in 2 foot of water in the back of pockets. They would just be in the middle of the pocket and as deep as 40 foot of water. Majority of the fish ranged from probably 10 to like 25 feet. But they really had to be, if they were in that deeper water, shallower than about 10 foot of water in the water column. And when they were that shallow, you could catch them in the timber.
That was amazing to see you doing it. Now, you got it done predominantly with two jerk baits and, that Rapala shad wrap. I mean, sure, the Rapala people love having you in the Rapala winner circle, twice in 6 weeks. I mean, I would think that that's a pretty cool thing. But that Rapala shad wrap, get that thing down there, and it does have that unique ability to just stop, right there and sit there and draw those fish from around. It's not like you were... I doubt you were hitting them right on the head. It seemed like you could have been calling them fish in from a decent distance away.
No, it was mostly I was using the shadow wrap deep, which it has that bigger bill on it.
Yeah.
And so it was helping get the bait a little bit deeper. But the main reason why I like the deeper version is it's got that longer bill. It turns that jerk bait into a square bill. And so if you weren't skin and bark, you weren't catching fish. And so that's why I used the deeper one. That way I could really I could hit the tree and it would kind of bounce off, and then those fish would be kind of glued onto it, and then they'd start chasing it. But if I didn't get close enough to that tree, they wouldn't even move.
Really?
So
yeah.
Being able to throw it in there and get those fish to kind of come out there to it and then work it back to the boat was the deal. I did get hung up a good bit, but it was overall, it was pretty worth it.
How many hooks do you think you went through? I know you're retying a lot, but how many hooks did you go, did you change out since you were hanging up in that timber a little bit?
I think I was changing at least 4 to 5 times a day hooks, and that's 3 at a time. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was 12 plus hooks every single day.
Wow. Tell us about
it wasn't wearing them out, but yeah, that was just a mental mindset that I was like, hey, I want the sharpest possible hooks I can have. You know, I could have went through one set of hooks and it lasted the whole time. But in my mind, I was like, I'm just going to change these hooks that way and keep them as sharp as possible.
You know, back in the day, we used to sharpen them. You know what I mean? That was the thing you did. You always saw guys, you know, they'd sharpen the hooks and put the barbed. But now it just seems like nobody really does that anymore. You know, it seems like everybody just changes them. I still am fascinated how quick you guys can change the hooks out. Because for me, it's like I got to put them on my workbench and it's like a half a day process to change out a couple of lures. I just don't have any fingernails and I can't do it. I don't know why you got to do it so fast, but nobody sharpens a hook anymore.
I still do sharpen my hooks occasionally, like if it's on a spinnerbait or a jig, you know, that single hook that you really can't change out. I do sharpen treble hooks every now and then. I keep 2 sharpeners in the boat, but I feel like it's just as quick and I've got confidence because mainly I want to keep the strength of that hook at 100%. After, you know, you hook a couple fish and you're trying to pull them out with pliers and that hook starts flexing a little bit, that hook loses its strength. It's not at 100% anymore. You know, the more you flex metal like that, it just the weaker and softer that metal gets. So I just go ahead and change it out and don't even worry about it.
All right, listen.
I don't want to have to second guess it.
Chris Zeldane's coming up next. Give the Megabass a little bit of love, too, because I know you were using that Megabass jerkbait. And Chris will be like, how can you not ask him about the Megabass?
I did catch a couple fish on it, and that was the thing. I was alternating baits all week.
Yeah.
There wasn't one bait that really shined overall. It was, you had to keep the fish on it, you know. The one thing with the Megabass, I could cast it a little bit further. And so as I was approaching the timber, I would usually throw that one. And then as I got into the timber, I would switch my baits to kind of adjust my cadence and the baits to where those fish were sitting.
Patrick Walters has been our guest in the Rapala Winter Circle. We will see you at Lay Lake, my friend. Who knows? Maybe I got to talk to you again. I don't know. And then
I look forward to that. I do.
And
hopefully
then,
so.
It'll only be like a minute off, and then boom, we'll be into the 2021 season. And hopefully all the fans will be back and everything else. It'll be fantastic. Appreciate you, man. Congrats again on the win.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's going to break in here. When we come back, Chris Zeldane, we started the season with him talking about the fact that the Classic was going to be right there in Fort Worth. He has made that Classic. We'll talk about that as well and what his plans are for the offseason next right here on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And, we had the guy that won the Texas Fest, Patrick Walters, fishing a different tournament than everybody else was fishing in, I think. And coming up next, we're going to have the guy that is the angler of the year in Clark Wendlandt. But how about right smack dab in the middle, a Texan? He's a transplant Texan, but he's a Texan. He's been a Texan long enough to be a Texan. The last time we talked to Chris Zeldane, it was right after they announced that the Classic was going to be basically pretty near in his backyard at Ray Roberts Lake. So we figured let's go back to him now that he made that Classic. And the Open is coming up at Louisville. He won't be fishing in that, but his wife, Trait, will be. And he can give us a little preview of what Louisville is like as well. And he joins us now. Chris, welcome to the show. How are you?
Absolutely, Tom. I appreciate being on yet again. I absolutely love this show. And talk about being smack dab in the middle. It seems like that's where my finishes were all throughout the year. I think I only had 1 top 10, but numerous, like top 20s, top 25s, top 30s. And to me, that's smack dab in the middle, like, you know, right in the middle of the paycheck, you know, top 40. Made a lot of top 40 cuts, but ended up right in the middle in those 20s. But congratulations, Patrick Walters did phenomenal tournament at Bass Fest last week. And, of course, Clark Wendlandt, AOI, I mean, absolutely killed it all season long.
Yeah, well, let's not underestimate what the kind of season that you had. You made a bunch of those 5-figure checks. You know what I mean? Those are the better checks. You get into that 5-figure check. You were there just about. You had that little soft spot up north at Champlain and St. Clair, but really some real nice finishes all the way through. And And then you go there to Texas Fest. You've won trucks there. You've done some damage there in the past at Lake Fork. 13th is a really nice finish. But were you just like shaking your head at what Walters was doing? And it made it even worse.
Oh,
he was doing it with a Megabass jerkbait as well. You know what I mean?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, it was unbelievable. Just watching him, he had one eyeball on his electronics and the other eyeball at the cover, you know, with the standing timber that he was fishing. And, you know, I saw the Bassmaster website there of the bait that he was throwing. And, you know, I was watching live, of course. I was glued. I had to learn how he was catching 104 pounds of fish for 4 days. And, you know, he threw the, you know, it looked like he was throwing a Megabass Vision 110 plus one, plus two, as well as a Rapala X-Rap. And, you know, that just goes to show, you know, it doesn't matter if you're up north fishing smallmouth in Michigan, you know, Mark Zona's territory, or down here in Texas, you know, catching 9-pounders on jerkbaits, there's always a time and a place for certain jerkbaits. You know, like an X-Rap, for example. Like, I love throwing that thing up for big smallmouth. It's real erratic. But when you get down in that timber, you know, when you're fishing down 8, 9 feet of water, 10 feet of water like that, you know, you need a jerkbait that the fish is left to right and left to right. It just kind of suspends there in front of their face, and it just drives them crazy. And it appeared like that's what he had going, but just a phenomenal tournament to watch that from the sidelines. 13th place finish for me last week, and I think it's the exact same place I finished in Bass Fest last year, 12th or 13th, so just shy of the top 10 cut. But catching big fish is what I like doing here in Texas, and there's a big open coming up. A lot of guys on the cusp of making the Bassmaster Elite Series, and some of the biggest names in the sport are coming back. It appears like they're coming back, so to see some of those big names like that, you know, fishing Lake Louisville here next week, you know, the Jason Christies, you know, the Hackneys, guys like that, you know, fishing shallow, muddy water on Lake Louisville, North Texas, not too far from Lake Ray Roberts where the Classic's going to be. I'm very familiar with these waters here. But, you know, as far as that goes, you know, I was out today, matter of fact, fishing earlier today, fishing Lake Louisville here, and there are some good fish to be caught. Lake is turned over. Water temperature is anywhere from 62 to 64 degrees. It's just the fall time of year, and it seems like we've been chasing that initial fall bite for like the last 6 or 7 weeks. I saw you up there at Lake Cherokee. It was just on the turn of that late summer, early fall pattern, and you're going to have more of that this week on Lake Louisville. A lot of
we haven't
and shad related bait.
We just haven't been able to get the water temp, the average water temp, to break through that 65 into this low 60s. It was, you know, even at Cherokee, we had 70 degree water still, 68, 69, 70.
Yeah,
and we just can't get a couple of cold nights to get them really fired up. So maybe they'll get fired up there. How similar is it to Ray Roberts? Because they almost look like twin lakes. I mean, they're not that far. They can't be 20, 30 miles away.
On a map, I encourage everyone to look at it and do their research on, you know, the Classic's coming up at Ray Roberts here in March. Yeah. If you go to Google Maps and Google just DFW area, you know, Dallas Fort Worth area, every single lake in the Dallas Fort Worth Metroplex area looks identical. There's a dam and there's like two arms with a bunch of, we call them branches around here, but you know, back home California, we call them creeks. But they all look the same. There's just like two forks and maybe one down the middle. And they fish very similar. You know, there's a lot of silt in these waters around here. So if you find a hard bottom mixed with some nice wood, mixed with some bait fish, and you have your fall recipe for a potential reaction bite. We saw Patrick Walters do it last week. Look for your, you know, your Texas power fishermen to do very well, you know, on Lake Louisville next week.
Yeah, Chris Zeldane with us here. Now, look, I know you're allowed to fish, obviously, up until the official practice. You know, you and Trey can go out there and fish together, and she'll be fishing in this thing and so on.
Yep.
And I know how difficult it is to fish somebody else's stuff in terms of style, you know, depending on stylus. But I got to know is that will she, like, if you say to her, look, they're on this.
Here we go. We're going to the danger zone.
No, don't tell me that's what I need to do because that's not what I want to do. I mean, is she got her own style that's different from you?
Well, I got to say, so every fisherman, whether you're a professional or a weekend fisherman, if you ever fish with your wife or your girlfriend and you try to tell them what to do, it just does not work out. And that's probably the biggest misconception as far as the dynamic goes between Chris Zeldane, you know, Elite Series fisherman, and Trey Zeldane, open fisherwoman is, you know, everyone think, oh, she's got the best stuff. You know, she's going to Texas. She's got the best stuff. Yeah. And, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And, dude, she does it all on her own. She doesn't want, you know, to be told what to do. And that's, you know, that's how she rolls. And I completely respect that. We were out kind of fishing today, just kind of messing around and, you know, just saw a lot at the lake, just kind of rode around and relaxed, you know. Yeah. We're on a 7-week stretch. So we kind of just chilled out, you know, we're staying at her house this week and it's about a 45-minute drive from the house here. Yeah. In North Texas. So just, it'll be a nice relaxing end of the season tournament for her.
Yeah. And it's really cool. I've been watching the Amazon series. It's outstanding. It's Dangerous. It's really good.
Yeah,
the dog is the star, though. You know that the dog is the star. I mean, you know, that's
yeah.
The thing. When a dog gets in the scene.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He's the star.
Well, everyone loves dogs.
Everyone loves the dog.
Oh, yeah.
But more so with her, I wonder is her style the same? Because, you know, it could be a totally different style. Does she like the fish kind of like how you fish? Do you guys like to – does she throw a big swim bait? Does she like to do those things like you like to do,
hey,
or is it totally different?
Yep, that's a good point. If we're ever in the boat together and we're fishing – and I'm throwing a giant swim bait or a huge crankbait or something that requires, you know, just a lot of physicality, just up and down and moving around. That is completely opposite of what she likes doing. She loves finesse fishing. You know, give her a spy bait and a finesse drop shot, maybe a little tiny swim bait. She loves that. And whenever there's that type of bite, like in the early fall, you know, when the bait fish are real small, that's right in her wheelhouse. So yeah, totally opposite ends of the spectrum as far as the approach to, you know, to fishing. But there's all, again, there's a time and a place for everything. So if I'm not catching them on the big swimmer, she's catching them on the little swimmer.
Yeah.
If I'm not catching them on a big jig, stroking a big jig off the bottom, you know, maybe she's throwing a little Texas finesse jig, something like that, or a shaky head and cleans up behind me. So definitely an interesting dynamic between the two of us.
You guys ever jump out there and do a little team tournament around the house? You know, you ever?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. We have. We've done pretty well around there. And, it's so quiet in the boat when we get down to business like that. It's definitely different.
Yeah.
You know, today was just a nice, nice cruise around the lake, and it was a good relaxation, and just a good break from the last 7 weeks on the road.
Yeah, Chris Haldane with us here, finishes 20th in the AOI, secured easily into this classic that'll be coming up in March. And I want to go back to the Toyota Bassmaster Texas Fest for a moment, because Patrick Walters just said something to us in the last segment that I thought was really interesting, because I said, you're fishing the May tournament, everybody else is fishing the November tournament at Lake Fort.
Yeah,
you know, with those numbers.
Point.
But he did say that a lot of guys saw him and he thought that the guys on the tour were so classy, they left them alone. They literally, he goes, I was fishing kind of alone. They knew by the second day what I was doing for the most part, and guys had a lot of respect. That says something for, you know, the 85 of the best fishermen in the world out there knocking it out.
Oh, that's huge. Yeah, no, I saw it on live where, you know, the guys who got to, you know, got to day four, you know, did really well up until day three. They all had their own things going. A lot of guys were fishing the very backs of coves, like myself, fishing reaction baits, shallow running crank baits, big square bills like Rick Klun around docks, chatterbaits around docks, around standing timber, shallow standing timber. Patrick Walters was the only one out there in deep water fishing suspended fish like that. And it was so apparent, you know, you would, it's hard not to, holy cow, this guy's catching 26, 27, 29 pounds. It's hard not to, wow, you know, what is he doing? And when the word goes around, oh, he's fishing suspended fish with a jerkbait, you can't go and do that. You can't go and duplicate that.
Right.
You know, you just can't do it as a professional fisherman. So when you figure something out like that alone, that is so hard to do on tour. But when you do, you win by a lot, and it showed last week.
Always a pleasure to catch up with Chris Haldane. I will see you at Late Lake. Well, at least I'll see Trade. I assume you'll be there with you.
Yep.
You guys travel together.
Yep,
so
I'll be there.
Hopefully I'll see you at Late Lake then coming
that
up.
Sounds good.
After Louisville, and congrats on a really nice season. And I know you'll be, the new season will start about 20 minutes. I mean, you just turn this thing right around.
No doubt.
Get ready to go. All right, man.
No doubt, Tom. It's always fun. We will see you at Late down the road.
All right, man. Appreciate you.
All right, buddy.
Chris Haldane.
Okay.
Always so much fun. All right, coming up next, Clark Wendlandt. He is the AOI, and we'll talk to Clark Wendlandt next.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats, Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Yeah, welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And, well, now it's time to talk to a guy. You know, you think AOY, if you follow professional fishing, and you think AOY, you know, you have to start thinking about Clark Wendlandt. He won this three times at FLW. He comes over to Bass full-time, and what's he do? He goes on, he wins the AOI. I mean, this is the fourth major AOI for Clark Wendlandt, and, you know, it's a thing. It didn't come as easy as it looked like it was going to come, but he got it done, and he joins us now. And, Clark, welcome back to the show, man. How are you?
Oh, thanks so much for having me. I'm doing great.
I had the feeling that you might not want to talk to me because I had you on. You had this big lead, you know, after Santee Cooper, and then we had you on, and we were talking about, you know, bringing it home. And then Chick happened, and it kind of a crash and burn there, and I figured that maybe you wouldn't even take my phone call, but luckily you did.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing about it is that you got to realize is how tough it is, because there's not very many points that separate each fisherman. So the guy that wins the tournament, he gets 100 points. The guy that finishes second gets 99.
Yeah.
And then all the way down the line. So there's not much separation. If you had a bigger field, like a 200-boat field, then there'd be a lot of separation because a guy might finish 125th in one event and he'd lose 100 points to the leaders. But, yeah, it's just not much separation there. So what really has to happen for a Bass Elite AOY is you got to have a really great year.
Yeah, you have to have a great year. You have to be very consistent, which you were outside of Chick, some incredible finishes. But let me ask you this to that point. I know you haven't raised that blue trophy yet. You will. But do you think – I've often thought – this is just me talking now. I'm not representing Bass here. This is just the host talking here. I've often thought that maybe – the win, kind of like in NASCAR, maybe the win should carry a little bonus, you know, a little 5-point bonus or a 10-point bonus or something like that. What do you think about that for guys that, you know, they win a couple of tournaments and then, you know, maybe they have a couple of dogs? Do you like it the way it is, or do you think there should be a little win bonus?
I could see it either way, but I actually like it the way it is. And the reason I do is because what it does is it really rewards consistency. A guy can't just go win, get a bonus. What we're looking for is the most consistent angler throughout the year, the one that can garner the most points. And so, I mean, you know, I could see it either way, but I really like it the way it is.
Of course you like it the way it is because you won the thing. I mean, you know, it's always a good thing when you get the win. Bass Pro Shops Pro Clark Wendlandt with us. And I got to ask you the question. This is the question we always ask at this time of the year. You win the AOI, and then that question comes up. Angler of the Year versus Bassmaster Classic Championship. If you can only have one or the other, which one to you is the most important? Is the one that you would want if I said you can only have one or the other?
No, it'd be the Bass Elite Angler of the Year. And the reason is, and I think most of the anglers are going to say the same thing. I think most of the time you're going to hear AOY.
They do.
Because that just means that you're the best that year. Not the best in one tournament. But you carried it throughout a year. You fought all the challenges. You dealt with all the different styles of fishing that you had to deal with in a year, and you came out on top. And to me, it's the most impressive one. If I had to say any award in the sport of fishing, which one's the most coveted, I'd say that's it.
All right, so now I'm going to put a little different twist on that same question. All right, you won it three times at the FLW. You've won now the Bassmaster Elite Angler of the Year, which is the most coveted title out there. Now that you have won, what if I told you you can go back-to-back and win a second AOI or a classic? Would you take more AOIs, or would you now take that classic and put that feather in your cap?
Now, that's a rough one there. I mean, that's really like hitting below the belt this time. But, I mean, I just really think AOIs are the most impressive ones to me. I mean, they just, in my opinion, it's the most impressive thing to get done in the sport of bass fishing. And so I'm going to have to stick with my guns on that one and say another AOY. I just assume win the Classic and then win AOY next year, but I'd say AOY if you have to give me either one.
Clark Wendlandt won with us coming off of his Angler of the Year championship. And I like the way it went down this year. I know it was stressful for you guys, but you know, I thought I'm going to miss the AOY tournament. But then it came back and I thought, goodness gracious. And I know it wasn't designed this way. COVID put it this way in terms of what it meant having Bass Fest last. But you had guys trying to make the Classic by winning Bass Fest that couldn't get in otherwise. You had guys trying to get into the top 42 now, the way it looks right now in terms of qualifying for the Classic. And then you had all of these AOY points on the line. I kind of like the way this worked out. I mean, from a viewer standpoint, there was a heck of a lot going on in the final tournament of the year. I like this better than having a quote-unquote, you know, AOY championship event.
I totally agree with you on that. I mean, I really thought it was a cool way to do it. And it's really cool for the fishermen. You know, the way that it worked out also, especially the fact that this was Texas Fest, Texas Toyota Bass Classic. I mean, that's a cool thing too, because that's a really big event for us. I mean, you get an automatic classic qualification if you win that event. There's, you know, it feels like a lot on the line. The payout's better. It's, you know, you know kind of what to expect when you go to that event. And so, yeah, I mean, the fact that it all came down, I mean, it wasn't much fun for me at the end because, you know, the pressure was there, but it's always going to be there. Every year, AOI is going to come down to the last tournament because that's just the way it's designed. There's not that much room from each fisherman from each point that goes throughout the year. So, What it does is it says, hey, to a fisherman, it says every fish this year is going to count. If you're going to win AOI, every single one's going to count. And it pretty much do. There's not a single fish that I probably could have not weighed in that would have let me win.
Yeah, and we'll get to the actual Toyota Bassmaster Texas Fest results and how all of that went, because it was kind of a strange deal. You're a Texas guy. I mean, you know these waters here, and you get the fish not only at Lake Fork for Texas Fest, then turn around Sam Rayburn for the Classic. But usually, you can't even afford one really bad tournament. Usually that one where you finish like 46, that'd be about it. You know what I mean? You had so many high finishes throughout the year. It created a scenario where you were able to overcome the 81st. I mean, you know, 81 out of 85 at Chick. Did you feel like when that happened at Chick, did you feel like, oh, my God, I blew this whole thing? Or did you come out of it thinking, doing the math and saying, you know what, I can finish top 30. I can still get this done.
Well, yeah, I mean, I did think I blew it because I did blow it. But, you know, the fact that, I mean, hey, it's a long year and there's lots of tournaments. And so, you know, but after that tournament was over, I mean, the one good thing that happened from that tournament is that the pressure went off of me and it went to David Mullins and Austin Felix. And,
right.
and I say that, you know, I mean, people can say all they want. They're, you know, fishing for AOI. Hey, I just got to go do the best I can. But the truth of it is that as fishermen, we want that award more than any other one. And so we just naturally put pressure on ourselves to win it when you have the opportunity. I mean, this was just a golden opportunity to win that for all three of us, actually.
Yeah.
And, so I didn't really have the pressure at it really going into that last tournament. Now, I did the last day, but days one and two, it wasn't even in my hands anymore. I could go do the best I could do, and I could still lose.
Yeah.
So I just went fishing, and that probably helped me a good deal.
So in this season, you get started at the St. Johns River, weird tournament, weather affecting that thing badly, but you have a nice finish there, 16th. Then we have the break, the COVID break. You come back, and you're on fire, 8th at Eufaula, 8th at Clayton. And this was kind of weird because you're 8th at Clayton, 46th at Plattsburgh, and then 4th at St. Clair. You know, usually guys go up north and they're going to be consistent, boom, 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 all three of those tournaments. But it was kind of weird to have Lake Champlain in the middle of that for you, an 8 and a 4, but that 46th in the middle there.
Yeah, but you know, that 46 is really not that bad. I
mean, no.
I mean, it seems bad, but the thing about it is those are all three of those are great, great fisheries. And
yeah.
I didn't catch them that bad, but I just didn't catch them as good as 45 others, obviously. So, you know, it wasn't like it was just, you know, it wasn't like I threw up a bomb like I did at Chick. It was more like, you know, I just didn't catch them quite as good as the guys that really, really did well.
Yeah, oh, no, you had them. I mean, you had 33 pounds of fish in 2 days. They were there. It's just, you know, the difference. And that's like the AOI standings, and I fish tournaments at Champlain as well. That can be, you know, everybody's catching a lot of fish, and if one guy is catching fish that are 8 ounces more than everybody else, he shoots up past 25 guys on the list. That always seems to be very bunched up because the smallmouth, especially, they seem to top out at around 5 pounds, the largemouth at around 6 pounds. So it's like, did you get that one bite that changes your bag from a 15, 16-pound bag to a 18 or 19-pound bag? I mean, it's incredible how tight that always is. It's like restrictor plate racing in NASCAR.
It's exactly what it's like. It's exactly what it's like. So, yeah, and Lake Champlain is just one of those places that, you know, what I mean, you can go to Ticonderoga or you can fish up north for largemouth. You can fish for smallmouth in multiple areas of that lake. So there's so many things you can do. The schools of fish that I found just weren't quite as big as the schools of fish that other guys found. And so, you know, I mean, I just had a decent finish there, yeah. Middle of the pack.
Kept holding your water good. Scottsboro, you were 21, 17th out there at Santee Cooper. And then, of course, you had the train wreck at Chick. But you bounce back in this event here, end up finishing 28th, but so much pressure to finish 28th to get this thing done. But when you look at, because it was a tough final day there for you, but when you look at what Patrick Walters was doing, I mean, it was like he was fishing a different lake. I mean, you have experience there. You know what Texas waters are like. You know what Lake Fork is like. It just seems like he landed on something, and everybody respected his space there, but he landed on something that was just different. And, I mean, nobody's ever won a tournament by 30 pounds. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, but I can see it happening there. And the whole reason is because – so what happens at Lake Fork, just to lay it out a little bit, is there's just a mass amount of timber. But the timber is almost all under the water. You can't see it. Right. I mean, you'll run over a lot of stumps, and you'll see one sticking out of the water here and there, but you're not seeing it. And so those fish being suspended in that timber, it's a lot more difficult to find those fish than it is to, you know, deal with something on the bank. You know, the other big dominant pattern going on was fishing docks.
Right.
Well, everybody can see docks, and there's not that many of them on Lake Fork, so everybody's fishing the docks. But the stuff that's out, he figured it out. And so, and then the other part of that is that the fish that were shallow, for the most part, you know, there weren't many 5-pounders. There was 2-3-pounders, and guys were, or, you know, maybe 3.5. You know, guys coming in with 17 or a good batch, 20. But there's giants and tons of giants on Fork, and those big ones were out where Patrick Walters was fishing. I'll tell you what, my hat's off to him. That was a great, great event, and I can see how it kind of snowballed for him, and I mean, I think he's a huge talent who will win an AOI one day.
Oh, yeah. And we were all gripping for you because, those are the sweetest 7 pounds and 4 ounces of four fish, you know, down there. So you're on Fork and you think about it. That's what got it done for you. The ability to at least put four fish in the boat, even though they were 1.5-pound fish or whatever they are, 1.75-pound fish. That's what got it done for you. And you handled that so well. You were so cool, man, going down the stretch. At least that's what it looked like. You might have been, all tore up inside, but you were really cool the way it looked, the way you handled it.
Yeah, and see, kind of what happened when you look at it on paper, it looked like I was just going to go out and catch another, 15 pounds because that's what I'd had.
Yeah.
But, I was running out of fish, and so that's the kind of the difference, and that's what nobody really realizes. I had maximized my fish for days one and two, but day three, I was basically, I knew I was close to out of fish, at least in my primary area. So, my secondary pattern was going and fishing docks, and but I also knew just kind of a feeling I had that those docks had been getting beaten up for a couple days. So, but when I, at about 10:30, I just decided I'm not dying on those fish. I mean, if I'm not going to win this, it's going to be doing what I think I should do right now. And so I left, and that was a pretty lonely drive. When I ran up the lake about 12, 14 miles, and the water's dead slick, and I feel like I'm really alone out there because I had one fish, and I knew I needed more than one fish. So.
Yeah.
But it worked out good, and I made the right decision. So.
Angler of the year, Clark Wendlandt. Clark, congratulations. I appreciate you so much, and we'll see you down the road. We'll certainly see you at the Classic at Rayburn. Congratulations.
I can't wait, and thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you, Clark Wendlandt. All right, let's get a break in here. We'll come back and wrap it up next. This is Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Final segment of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, and as we add this show back to the dock, let's take a look at some news and notes from around the pond. Now is the time to visit Bassmaster.com/sweepstakes for a chance to fish with a Team Toyota Bassmaster Elite Pro. You get to choose from Brandon Lester, Matt Airy, or the G-Man himself, Gerald Swindle. You'll also win a trip to the 2021 Bassmaster Classic in Fort Worth, Texas, where you will enjoy the full VIP package. You'll also get $2,700 spending cash to go with your accommodations and travel, plus a great fishing prize pack. The total value of this prize package is over $21,000. Sign up today and every day at Bassmaster.com and click on Sweepstakes. Well, with two open events to go, let's take a look at the open standings, the AOI open standings in both the Central and Eastern and overall standings, because that's how the invites will be handed out for the 2021 Elite season. Right now, in the Central Opens, with one event to go, Jason Christie leads the way with 547 points. Darnold Gleason has 540 points. Elite Series Pro Lee Livesey, 539 points in third place. And Mark Frazier with 533 points is in fourth place. Brandon Polinek is in fifth, and then Kenta Kimura is in sixth. Now, when we switch over to the Eastern Opens, they got a hot race being contested over there. Patrick Walters leading the way. Of course, Patrick already on the Elite Series Tour, and he is with 581 points. So then we look at Joshua Strachner, and he's got 580 points. Pat Schlappler has 550 points. Scott Martin has got 541 points. Timmy Tompkins at 536. Justin Atkins is at 526 as well. Andy Herbar is at 523. And Justin Hamner, who I fished with a couple of events ago, has got 520 points. So that's going to be hotly contested as well. They'll take the top four there, minus the ones that are already on the Elite Series. And then there is the overall Opens AOYs, and I'll go down that list as well for four more opportunities to qualify. Right now, it's Justin Atkins, Jason Christie, both former Elite Series pros, Mark Frazier, and Matthew Robertson sitting 1, 2, 3, 4 there, with Brandon Polinek in fifth place, Brian New in sixth, and Scott Martin in seventh. So it's going to be a very interesting couple of weeks for the Opens. Now, taking a quick look at what is left on the schedule. As we speak, the TNT Fireworks Bass Nation Championship is underway at Pickwick Lake. That will secure a spot in the Classic. We'll have the champion of that coming up next week. Well, that's going to do it for us. Until next time, keep those lines tight and nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham, and this has been Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.